Good morning. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about a very common term that you will hear that among churches. That term is free will. You've probably all heard that. Maybe some of you young ones have not heard of that term. But I want to look in the Bible just a little bit about the will of man, what the Bible says about free will, and hopefully bring some clarity to that particular phrase. I think it's really important to understand free will if you're going to understand what grace is, what salvation by grace is, what the sovereignty of God is. I think it's important to understand what that phrase free will means. And I've got a definition for it here for some of you young ones that don't know exactly what free will means. Obviously, you understand what free means. Something that is not bound by anything. But free will is man's ability to choose, pursue, and obtain his desire. Now, that's my definition of it, but I thought it was pretty clear and made a lot of sense. Free will is man's ability to choose, pursue, and obtain his desire. Now, certainly we know that there are areas in our life where free will absolutely exists. I would like to look for just a few minutes at maybe some things in the scripture and maybe just some things logically that tell us that free will is not just an unbridled, all-encompassing thing that we experience. For example, when you think about free will, Brother Tim just said a minute ago, about the sicknesses that we've had. Now, I've been sick before. Chances are I'll be sick again. I can lay in my bed sick with the flu, with strep throat, with COVID, with any number of different types of sicknesses. And can I choose in those moments? Can I choose to just be healthy like that? Am I bound by that sickness? Can I exercise my will and say, you know what, I'm going to choose and pursue, and I'm going to obtain health right now. I'm exercising my will to just overcome this sickness and get up out of this bed, and I'm just going to be well. We all know that we can't do that. Logically, we cannot just exercise our will and say, I'm going to get better. I've heard some people talking about free will before, make some points that I thought were very valid. Did you choose when you were going to be born? I was born on March 5th, 1979. Not my choice. That's just when I was born. Actually, I was under the will and influence of another that brought me into this world. I did not choose my gender. I did not choose my eye color. I didn't choose my hair color. I didn't choose the location that I was going to be born. You know, I visited places before that I'm sure some of you are feel the same way. You know, I've gone out to Wyoming before, and I've been like, why couldn't I have been born in Wyoming? You know, it's beautiful out there. I wish sometimes that I had just been everything that I know, my parents and everything that my family, I wish we could all have just grown up in Wyoming, and that would have just been our home. But I didn't get to choose where I was born. My will had no influence over any of those things. So, logically speaking, is free will just all-encompassing for us? Can we just choose whatever we want and pursue that and obtain that without any limitations whatsoever? Logically, we can't. What about scripturally? Does the Bible teach us anything that in any concepts in the Bible that might indicate to us that our free will is not just a free reign? If you look in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, for just a second, if you remember that there comes a time that Israel is taken into captivity by Babylon, and they are they're brought into Babylon, and they're some of them are working as slaves, some of them are being taught the new language and the new customs and all that type of thing. And at some point, there is another nation, the Medes and the Persians, that will come in and they will overtake Babylon. And they would become the walking dog of that area, I guess you could say. And so Israel is now under the Mede and Persian rule, no longer Babylon. And in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, you will find that there is a king that the Lord has determined from the Medes and Persians that that king will begin to let Israel go back into their land. Okay, remember they were taken captivity by Babylon. Now, in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, in verse 28, that man's name was Cyrus. It says, "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd," notice this, "and shall perform all my pleasure." So Cyrus, in this particular instance, is Cyrus operating as the king that will set the captives free? Is Cyrus operating out of his own choice and pursuit and desire? Or is Cyrus here simply an instrument of God that God has prepared to perform the will, not of Cyrus, but the will of God? Because it says, "He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure." So logically speaking, we can't just walk around shouting, "Free will, free will, free will." Because really at the root of free will, most of the time is pride. We can't walk around chanting free will all the time because logically speaking, our will can't cure us of a sickness. And the Bible tells us here that sometimes God's will overpowers our will. Now, that's free will on this end of the spectrum. And there are people that believe that man's ability to choose and pursue and obtain his desires. But you go all the way to the other end of the spectrum over here, and there's an idea that man has no will whatsoever. You may read about or hear about the phrase Calvinist. When you hear somebody speak of a Calvinist, or maybe we would say things like they are what we would call an absoluter, meaning that they believe that every single thing that happens is not because man chose and pursued and obtained something. It's because God, behind the curtain, is orchestrating and operating. Just like the Wizard of Oz, you remember the man behind the curtain? And everything those people saw was being orchestrated by somebody over here that they couldn't see initially. And people believe that God is orchestrating and doing and making all of these things happen, and that every single thing that happens has nothing to do with what man chose and pursued, but by what God chose and moved them to pursue. Saying free will is just absolute, and that's the way every single thing happens, that gets you into a world of trouble and confusion. But no more so than saying that man has no will, and that everything that simply happens is orchestrated by God. Now, in the book of Psalms, let me flip over there for just a second. And I've talked with people before that believe that man really has no will. Everything that happens is orchestrated by God. And I've talked to people before that have had great tragedies in their life. Tragedies that came from very poor decisions that were made by the person who was a victim of that tragedy. And the evil and the trouble and the sin that was present there that caused that tragedy, they would say all was part of God's plan to puppeteer this particular tragedy happening because he had some mysterious great purpose. Now, what's the problem with that? Scripturally, will that hold up scripturally? In Psalms, the 5th chapter, in verse 4, it says this, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." Now, if we took a human being, let's say, and that human being took a group of people and forced them to do evil, wicked things but so he could have some sort of purpose over here, what would we say about that human? We would call him all types of names, and chances are there would be FBI investigations, and he'd be put away forever. But yet we'll accuse God of the same thing. Will we not? Will we not say, oh, God orchestrated all of this and brought all this? Do you realize, and I wouldn't even dare speak any of this from the pulpit, and my knowledge is limited on it anyway. Do you realize the depth of sinful things that mankind are doing all over the world right now? Heartbreaking, mind-boggling. The Bible talks about they invent ways to do evil. Well, I'm bored of doing evil this way. Let's come up with a new way to do it. And they exercise that evil on good people, on children, on babies. And people say, that's right. And God's just, you know, none of that's really something they're choosing. God is doing that. But the Bible tells me here that he has no pleasure in wickedness. And the Bible says, neither shall evil dwell with thee. I don't think the scriptures will support that line of thinking. No. If that's not enough for you, speaking of evil, if you flip over to the book of Jeremiah for just a second and the evil things that people will do in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Speaking of the evil things people will do, there was a time that Israel began to intertwine themselves with some ungodly nations. And just like we do today, when you as an individual or you as a family or you us as a nation, when we begin to intertwine ourselves with ungodly people, eventually they will wear off on us and influence us. That's why the Bible says to be careful with the company that you keep. And I'm paraphrasing there. But Israel had intertwined themselves with ungodly nations, and they adopted a practice that these ungodly nations adopted, and they would sacrifice their children to a false god. You've heard me talk about that. You've heard Brother Tim talk about that. And I don't even have the heart to tell you how they did that. But essentially, they watched their children be burned to death in the presence of a false god. Now, is God up there with puppet strings? You've seen the little puppets where they hold the things, they make them dance. Is God up there with the puppet strings making his peculiar chosen people do those things? And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. That's their way of saying they basically were burning them to death. To pass through the fire unto Molech. Notice this. Which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. Now, by the Lord's own admission here, what they were doing was not something he chose for them, was not a desire that he put in their heart. They were acting under the power and influence of the wicked devil, not of God. So, on one end of the spectrum, we talk about free will, where everything that happens is orchestrated by man and his desire. But we looked at just the logic of that, how that doesn't fit when we talk about we want to be well. You want to be rich. Well, just will that to happen. Doesn't work that way. But on the other end over here, we say God causes everything. But we've seen scripturally that God says, it is not in me to do evil. And I did not command or even think about commanding them to do this wickedness. So what about the will of man? It's somewhere in between. We would say that man has a limited will. My will cannot make me well. My will cannot make me rich. My will cannot allow me to lift up off this stage up here and fly. My will is limited. It's important to understand that. There are things outside the nature of a human being we cannot do, no matter how much we want to. Now, let's talk about a limited will for a second. And let's look how in between these two ends of the spectrum, where sometimes we see man's will, man choosing something, pursuing it and obtaining it, and then sometimes we see God coming in and saying, this is my will is going to be done. I want you to think about Joseph. Do you remember Joseph back in the Old Testament? You remember Joseph? And here's a good lesson for all of us men, women too. I say specifically men. Where Potiphar's wife, if I could say it this way, took a liking to Joseph, was interested in Joseph, a married woman, interested in Joseph, attracted to Joseph, and she begins to try to tempt Joseph and lure him. And one day, there's a day where there's nobody in the house but Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And she comes to him and tries to tempt him. And in that moment, we will see Joseph's will take control. Joseph chose and pursued and obtained something that he desired. And in that case, it was to escape the clutches of Potiphar's wife. You understand?
Yeah.
Joseph's will right there was his. I am not going to sin against God. I am not going to do this to Potiphar. And I'm not going to do this to this household. And so Joseph's will said, run. And Joseph took off. It was absolutely within Joseph's power and within the limits of his nature to say, I am choosing not to do this, and I'm gone. Praise God for that example. And brothers, if somebody ever comes, a young lady ever comes up to you and does the same thing, follow Joseph's pattern and run.
Amen.
Now, let's look within this spectrum here where limited will applies. We see where man's free will does live within these two spectrums. But we also see where it's still limited, and sometimes God's will has to take over. Let's look in the book of Exodus for just a second. In the book of Exodus, if you remember here, Israel has been in captivity to Egypt after the Lord uses Moses to have this competition, if you'll let me say it that way, against Pharaoh to show God's power. Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, and they begin to travel. But Pharaoh, after they have gone, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he decides that he's going to pursue them. I've let them go, but now I've changed my mind, which was typical for Pharaoh. He did it all throughout the 10 plagues of Egypt there. And after he lets them go, he decides, I'm going to go get them. And so he begins to pursue them. Now, there comes a time when as he pursues them, the Israelites realize that he's coming and they're backed up against the Red Sea. And if you remember a sermon from maybe a year or so ago, Brother Tim preached, he described where they were. It was a place of no escape. Can't go. It was a huge cliff here, a huge cliff here, and the Red Sea in front of them, and they're trapped. And Pharaoh's army is coming in to get them. Now, put yourself in the Israelites' position there. You see and you know what's coming, and you look around, and you've got nowhere to go. So, does man in that moment, does man's free will allow him to choose to part the Red Sea and to cross it? Or is his nature limited, and they're unable to do that? I think we all agree that they're unable to do that in and of their own will. So God's will comes into play, where God's nature and God's will is not limited in power. And in verse 13 of Exodus 14, It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of" who? The salvation of the Lord. This is not Moses' will to choose and pursue this parting of the Red Sea and to make a way of escape. It's not Aaron's will. It's God's will. And God's will is not bound, and the Lord parts that Red Sea, and they begin to cross it. Now, again, imagine, that's a great account, but I want you to imagine, you know, have you ever been chased by something? I remember as a kid when you were playing chase, even though you knew there was no harm, when somebody's chasing you, you're running from them, there's just an adrenaline, I got to get away. Can you imagine if you know they're going to harm you? Can you imagine somebody chasing you through an alley with a knife or a gun, intending to do you harm? Can you imagine the fear there? These people are afraid. And the Red Sea parts. And they cross the Red Sea. Now, we often talking about the crossing of the Red Sea, but really the crossing of the Red Sea is not the deliverance. It was the closing of it. Think about it. When the Red Sea parts, now I know that the Lord troubled them. I know that their chariots were getting bogged down in some of the muck and the mud, and they get frustrated and they say, let's just quit following them. Do you think Pharaoh was going to have that? Absolutely not. If the Lord doesn't close the Red Sea back up, they find a way across and they continue to pursue them. But God says, I'm going to close it up on them. And he tells the Israelites, and you shall see the Egyptians no more. This is it. The closing of the Red Sea. That'd be a good sermon one day. The closing of the Red Sea. Moses didn't close that sea. Moses' will was not powerful enough, and it was too limited to close it. But not God's. I'm out of time. But I want you to read 2 Peter, the first chapter and the fourth verse sometime today. And it talks about the Lord giving us a divine nature. Is that because we chose it and pursued it and obtained it on our own free will? Or is it like us standing at the Red Sea saying, my will has no power here, but God's will does. And God's will is not limited, and he gave us a divine nature. Now, if you can understand the dangers of saying 100% man has free will, and you can understand the dangers of saying 100% man has no will and it's all of God. But yet we live in the realm somewhere in between there. And there are times that we exercise our will, and there are times in that realm that our will is of no effect, but God's will is. And he intervenes in the life of his people, and he delivers us time and time again when we can't. I hope that that's been profitable to you, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.